now to your regularly scheduled program.
Hey everybody, this is Josh Martin.
And I'm Marty Hyde.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome to the Tattoos and Jesus Podcast.
I am very happy to be here!
Here at TNJ, we seek to blend the righteous with the ridiculous.
Please explain.
We discuss coffee, counseling, Christianity, and whatever else crosses our mind.
We hope you enjoy it.
Okay, let's go.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of TNJ, Tattoos and Jesus.
Holla, holla.
Old and new listeners, we
old
appreciate your
and new
time to tickle your ears.
That's right.
With our voices. We did have a few people reach out over the past couple podcasts since having David on, so we really appreciate the emails.
Yeah.
We appreciate the support. We appreciate your journeys, all the above.
Shout out to Micah that emailed us.
Yep.
He promised us, I'm going to put this on the pod, he promised us some coffee.
Yeah.
Because he went back and listened to some old pods where we used to review coffee all the time. So now it's out there in the ethos.
Right.
This man promised coffee.
Disclaimer on new people who go back to listen to us. Our first four episodes, if I'm being honest, were probably absolute
listen
trash.
To number one, skip to number five.
Number one, my mic wasn't even on. I was talking through the computer. We were on a Zoom call, and my headset, my mic wasn't on. It wasn't even working.
It's kind of funny to look back at how the episodes progressed, because I had somebody say, man, I liked your podcast, so I went to the beginning. I was like, I don't know that I would do that.
Yeah.
I appreciate the streams, but you'll listen to like three of them. You know what? These guys aren't as good as I thought they were.
I wish I remembered when we bought mics.
Like
what was the first episode of mics?
Instantly, we had those like Amazon headsets.
No, I just mean like official
real ones. Oh, yeah. After you came to work at Envision, because we did a couple episodes with Blue Yeti, and that was rough. Because it was one mic between us, and we're like having a whole conversation while
forehead
trying
to forehead. Yep.
And then we finally, I don't know, a year and a half ago? When did you go work at, no, 2 years ago. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It's been a while.
So I had something kind of funny happen the other night. Well, with my wife.
I feel like every time you, to help you out, don't lean in and say that, because some people that listen will be like, fast forward 10 minutes. As soon as you say, I had something funny happen. They'll fast forward.
Why?
Minutes. I'm just kidding with you.
Because they don't like good humor?
They don't like your dad stories, your dad jokes.
This isn't a dad joke. My wife did this. This is a mom joke.
I know. I'm just kidding.
All right. So we're sitting at a coffee shop. Mentioned it before. Cal Penn's Coffee and Creamery. If you haven't checked it out, check it out. It's a fun time. Good ice cream. Well, I don't need ice cream. Good sherbet. Good ice cream. Good coffee. Got some food. Anyway, I'm there chilling. Working on my computer Saturday night. Ashley comes home and came over there to hang out with me. And she's sitting there. And, like, we go to this coffee shop weekly. Her and Charlie go, like, daily sometimes.
To the coffee shop?
Yeah.
They love the coffee there?
No, they like the ice cream. So, they just like it. The owners are really cool. Just a cool place. Anyway, we've been there a lot.
Right.
And it's in a town in which we live.
Right.
I know. Shocking.
Right.
Here's the observation she made that I thought was interesting. She goes, you know, when you look around in here, she goes, it's full of people that we have never seen in our entire lives. She said, how weird is it that you can live your entire life in the same town and there's people living within arm's reach of you, right? Houses down, neighborhoods over, streets away, that you have never seen before. They're living an entire world of their own. And it's the exact same world you live, but you have never crossed paths with them. And I was like, that's a really interesting thought. Because I've thought before, like, there are people that will be born on the same day that I'm born and will die about the same time I die in different parts of the world that have, like, an entirely different experience of what life is, right? Because to me, and I mean to anybody, it's like life is what you live. But there is someone living the exact same time period as you and would have a completely different experience in life. Like, I recognize that when you think of, like, different continents. But she brought up a good point. Like, there are people that will live the exact same town as you your whole life. You will never meet them, and they will have lived the same exact life you did, but you never knew each other. Is that not weird to you?
And then she passed the bong to you, and you hit the bong and started thinking about this topic.
There was something in those gummies, man. No, apparently.
No, that's a great thought, though. I mean, it's one of those thoughts where it's like, wow, that's it. Like, I wonder how many times this person has encountered you or saw you, didn't even know who you were. Like,
yeah,
hey, I've ran into this guy one time randomly 4 years ago at Ingles.
Well, that's a really good point, because there are times, there's probably people that you have seen, but it wasn't notable, so you didn't register, right? Like, you walk into a restaurant, you notice that there were people next to you, like, you don't remember their faces.
Right.
But there are undoubtedly people, they know you, and you don't know them.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Which reminds me, I think I've said this, I'm 99% sure I've said this on the show before. One of the questions I want to ask God when we get to heaven is, like, what is the closest you ever were to, like, something absolutely crazy, but you never knew it? So, examples are, like, you were hiking through the woods, and there was a rattlesnake curled up, getting ready to bite you, but for some reason, your phone rang, and you stopped, and you turned around and took the call. And you never knew that, like, you were one step away from being bit, right? Or we're visiting Gatlinburg, and we're hiking in the woods, and there's a bear that's looking at us, and we're getting too close to the cubs, and she's like, I'm gonna kill you, but for whatever reason, we go a different way, and she goes, like, moments that were incredibly dangerous.
A lot of hiking incidences.
Yeah. But the real one is, there's, like, because we've talked about, like, serial killers and stuff a couple times. There's a lot of serial killers, apparently, in the United States at any given time. According to these stats, I don't even know how they judge that. I don't even know how they come.
Two are from Gaffney,
right? I'm in a hotbed. So, but, like, have you ever been the target of a serial killer and didn't know it, and for whatever reason, right? Like, have you ever just been sitting at a coffee shop, you know, at a nice little pub on the weekend, and there's a dude in there that's literally contemplating murder, is looking at you like, what'd it be like to dice up this fella? But for whatever reason, it's like, nah, he ain't worth my time or something. Like, what are, you know, you're driving down the highway, and you know, like, 85, it's a huge drug trafficking and human trafficking rings. Like, you know that there has probably been a time that you were next to, like, a box truck or a semi or a car that either had, like, notorious mafia members, drug cartel, sex trafficking, loads of marijuana or cocaine, like, massive international level stuff driving next to you, and you have no clue. Like, if the truck became transparent, you'd be like, holy smokes.
Yeah,
where's Liam Neeson when you need him?
That's a good point. My mom was on a list one time, fun fact.
Well, what now?
My mom was on the serial killer list, the Gaffney Strangler list.
She was on the Gaffney Strangler list.
He lived right beside her when she was a child.
Yeah.
And when they busted him, they raided his house. He had a list in his house. Her name was on the list. Fun fact.
What did she do to this guy to get on the list?
She just lived close by, and she was in the age range that he was targeting.
How does she feel about this?
I mean, she don't care
now.
That's
a good example. That's a time she found out.
Yeah.
She'd have never known.
Never known.
Have you never thought, like, am I on somebody's list?
I mean, if I am, I'm sorry for whatever I did, if you listen to the podcast. But, I mean, I don't...
There's a man in Guam right now. If I ever make it to South Carolina.
It's wild. I mean, everybody's fascinated with it because it's like the number one listened to podcast, watch shows, is like criminal activity, serial killer activity, murders, yeah. Mystery. Like, criminal activity is probably number one as far as peaked interest for human beings. And it's like, it's kind of wild. Like,
we did a whole podcast on psychopaths and sociopaths, like, yeah, in our first year. A lot of people enjoyed it, so if you want to learn specifically about that, go check it out. Because you're right, it's like the number one streamed
anything. Yeah, in any category.
Why do you think that is? Do you think people just are fascinated with the idea of, like, I can't wrap my mind around how this type of evil could exist, and they can't fathom it?
Yeah, I think if a lot of people are coming from their worldview, don't realize and can't grasp how somebody does something that's so out of their worldview.
Yeah.
That they,
like, it's unfathomable.
Right. Like, they don't understand how they can do that. But then they listen, and then they watch it, and then they, like they just, they're like, wow, how does somebody get there? That is wild. That is crazy.
Like, in the mind of a serial killer, how do you?
There's like a weird draw.
Have you ever watched those shows though?
Some of them, yeah.
It never fully satisfies.
No. Well, I mean, it's like, you know, we've talked about this before. I don't know if it's on podcast or off podcast, whatever. My favorite show on my favorite show on Netflix was Mindhunters, which was the start of the FBI behavioral unit where they go and they interview the serial killers, they interview like all of these. That to me would be absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, I actually had this conversation yesterday with another friend, Nick. If he's listening to the podcast, shout out Nick Dale. Let me ask you a question. See what you think about it.
Could you be a serial killer?
I think maybe. I mean, I don't think so. But you never know. Everybody's one decision away right now.
So you're not one?
No.
That's what a serial killer would say.
Exactly.
All right, what's your question?
Question is, do evil people exist, or do terrible people exist? Like the sense
we just
of,
talked about serial killers, and you're going to say, do evil people exist?
Well, evil in the sense of, like, to their core, they are an evil person. Like, they are something I could never be.
Unredeemable.
Right. Well, just like something that is not me. Like, there's no way I could be this because there's evil in them.
Yeah.
Like, you hear that a lot. Like, there's evil in this person.
Like, almost like something foundational is askew that you're not capable of becoming.
Right.
If you're not that already.
Yeah.
Do I think evil people exist?
Yeah.
I do.
See, I don't.
Well, you're wrong.
All right, so let's talk about it.
Okay.
What leads you to believe that evil people, at the core, I'm not saying that people do evil things, but evil people exist.
Because evil people exist. That is my evidence. Evil people are the evidence for their existence.
All right, so I don't agree, but I'm going to present my... I'm going to try to convince
you. All right, you tell me why they are. I feel like we're about to rehash this psychopaths and sociopaths episode.
No, it's different.
Okay.
So...
why do you think evil people don't exist?
Short answer...
you've never given a short answer.
They're made.
They're made?
They don't exist. They're made. That's my... they don't... People are too selfish to openly choose decisions that destroy their lives or make their lives harder, if that makes sense. Like, most evil that we see comes with some pretty severe consequences.
Yeah.
Nobody openly chooses these consequences for no reason. Like, I think I'm going to kill this guy today because I'm an evil person. Yeah. There's usually something else.
Because they don't want the consequence.
Okay. Driving.
Listen, there's a well-known... have you ever studied cannibalism?
Yeah, we talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, because of the flight, whatever. There's this well-known case, I forget his name now, I was actually reading about him a couple weeks ago. A well-known case from sometime in the last 30 years, where a dude went on to cannibalism websites and solicited someone to eat him. Have you heard this story?
No.
Because you're like, there's always a kickback. Like, there's this guy, if I knew we were going to talk about this, I could have looked his name up. All right, he went on a cannibalism website, did some research, found a guy who was willing to, quote unquote, harvest him and eat him slowly until he ultimately died.
Okay.
And so after a series of planning, this man went, I think it was in Canada or something, this man went and met up with his slayer, and sure enough, like, the guy willingly submitted to this. They even, and they know some of this because he did a video, like, consenting to this death. And, like, oh, it's so gross because the guy tied him up as requested. Everything was as requested by the guy. All right, and so I'll try to be PG here. But they started by cutting off something very important to a man, frying it up, and they both ate it.
So many comments I want to make right now.
And then eventually, over a series of hours, the man bleeds out.
Okay.
That is, I'm not saying that man wasn't made. And maybe on some level he was suicidal or something, and maybe that was like that was the kickback for him. But that's the ultimate sacrifice of engaging in evil behavior, is your own sacrifice, and a demented, absolutely disturbing fashion at that.
I question to that. Follow-up question.
I'm going to try to find his name real quick so people can look.
If I were to say, Marty, I'll give you $1 million if you can describe or point out ways this man was brought up. There's no way you would say he probably had a loving family with parents that cared and never went through any traumatic experiences. That's a stretch that anybody would say that when he's making decisions like that. So in that sense, that's what I'm saying as far as like mate. Like he's just not choosing these things. Like he's just not up and, hey, you know, I think I'm going to get harvested today. I think I want to chop some pieces up here and see what happens. Roll the dice a little bit.
All right. In one of the most extraordinary trials in German criminal history, self-confessed criminal admitted that he met a 43-year-old Berlin engineer, Bernd Brands, if I'm saying that right, after advertising on the internet and chopped him up and ate him. Fast forward. All right. So the guy who did said, I always had the fantasy, and in the end, I fulfilled it. He told the court during the first day of the trial. German prosecutors described how Moise, this guy, had fantasized about killing and devouring someone, including classmates, at the age of 8. The desire grew stronger after the death of his mother in 1999. He advertised on the internet for a young, well-built man and wanted to be eaten. On the evening of March 9th, two men went to the bedroom of the farmhouse. Brands, who was the one who sold himself, I guess, swallowed 20 sleeping tablets and a half bottle of schnapps before his manhood was cut off with his agreement, and fried it and both of them to eat. By this stage, he was heavily bleeding. He took a bath while he was read the Star Trek novel. In the early hours of that morning, he finished off his victim by stabbing him in the neck with a large kitchen knife, kissing him first.
And you would say both of them had excellent upbringings with no traumatic experiences. Both of those guys had no influences.
I mean,
that would be, I mean, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm getting at. I'm not saying that their options are in front of them and that they have no other option but this. I'm saying most of their options that they're going to have in front of them due to some things that have happened are not in line with what most people would choose. Like, so it's almost like if you're dropped off and you have three roads in front of you.
Yeah.
And one leads to, I don't know, you not killing somebody. One leads to a great career. One leads to a great family.
Yeah.
And murder is about a half mile down the road. You have to walk down and turn right to go down. Whereas people who have these things, it's literally the ace. It's 100% the Aces. Adverse childhood experience.
Yeah.
Your options in front of you are then drug addiction when your ACE score goes higher.
Yeah.
Possibly murdering somebody. Criminal activity. White picket fence. Great career. No issues with the law. It's a half mile down the road.
Yeah.
It's the opposite.
So you're saying childhood trauma is really the kicker here. Like, even if we don't know this guy's story, you'd be willing to put your life savings on. That man went through something.
100%.
Because here's, I don't know.
100%.
I don't know. Because some people are just jacked up.
Yeah, but it doesn't just happen.
It does. There's there's testing evidence.
Genetics, though.
Yes.
That's still.
Genetics is not, that's.
But genetically, nature, God nurture, doesn't make evil.
It separates it.
Genetically, God's not going to say, I'm going to genetically make you evil.
Did he allow sin to enter into the world?
But he didn't make it.
Oh, but he allowed it.
So
if God's not the maker of everything?
So when it says he wove you in the womb, except for that genetically evil part that's in there?
I'm just kidding. I'm just screwing with you. But here's the thing. So, like, with psychopaths, psychologically pathology, psychology pathology, psychopath. They're developmentally atrophied. Like, there is research that shows that the emotional processing of their brain, like the amygdala or something, it's on the base of your skull, on the back of your head. It's literally atrophied. It's smaller than the normal human person. So their ability to have empathy and accurate emotion is completely distorted. It's almost like being born with a TBI, a traumatic brain injury.
Mm.
They are incapable of functioning.
Right.
I know of some people right now, I can't give you details because of client confidentiality, that are dealing with a situation where a child is demonstrating purely evil behaviors despite having really zero traumatic events in their life.
Evil behavior.
Evil. Like, they've had someone say, this child is demonstrating psychopathic tendencies even at a young age.
But not all psychopaths are evil.
No.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, there has to be, like, the parents that currently mm-hmm. are over the child have a good shot.
Yeah.
He's got a better shot than most.
Here's the thing. A couple years ago, I was working with a kid, and the mom, because one of the number one signs of being a psychopath is doing evil to animals or other children at a young age, right? And so I'm working with this kid, comes from a fairly normal home, not wealthy, you know, just blue collar. Other kids are well adjusted. This kid keeps killing animals and filleting them in the backyard. No known history of trauma. No known history of abuse.
But he's got to get it from somewhere.
His freaking DNA.
You don't just fillet animals randomly.
Yes, he just wanted to see what it was like.
So you're telling me this kid knew how to fillet an animal with absolutely
influence. I mean, I'm not saying he was Gordon Ramsay filleting it. He just took a knife and chopped it in half.
Okay.
And wanted to watch it bleed.
Right.
I'm like broken animal's leg because he just wanted to see what would happen.
Right. But that's not evil.
That's not evil? What the frick is it?
He's not doing it out of an evil intent. Like, there's a difference between I'm going to hurt this thing on purpose because I want to bring pain to it and not being able to understand what you're doing.
So what you're saying is if you don't have the capacity to know the evil you're doing, then you're not actually doing evil because you can't understand it?
Yep, 100%.
So does that mean if that person goes out and murders someone, they should be exonerated?
No.
Because they can't be held accountable because they didn't comprehend that what they were doing was evil?
No, because it's still the law. I'm just saying, as far as evil goes, if they don't understand, like, it's almost like, okay, put it this way. This is going to be a bad comparison, but this is the first thing that came to my mind. You go to another culture. You have no idea that it's extremely disrespectful not to take your shoes off. Okay. Honor shame culture.
Yeah.
You walk in, you got muddy boots. You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
They kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
No.
That's what I'm saying. But you didn't know. To them, what you did was very shameful. To you, but you didn't know. So that's what, like, if they don't know.
That's a reverse example.
That's
because they shouldn't have killed me.
Right. But but it's the same. It goes both ways. Because you didn't know that what you were doing was bringing shame, pain, anything to the people. You didn't know. So should you be held accountable is the same way as should they be held accountable. Sure, it's the law. Like, if there's a law that you should take your shoes off, you break the law, you should be held accountable. But to say that your intent is evil behind that because you didn't know, I feel like is not right.
So is this where, like, the insanity plea comes in?
Kind of.
Because it's like you were not you didn't have the mental capacity?
I think that's kind of where that lands. Now, I mean, you know, people do that just because they're lawyers. But I truly believe that if there's something genetically, mm-hmm. now I'm not saying people who are made like this, like they understand there's nothing genetically wrong. Like if you look up the number one influence for criminal activity, it is social and economic influences. It is not genetics. It is not evil people. It is literally saying like the number one, you can Google it on any website, the number one is exposure to criminal activity and trauma is by far the number one cause of you also engaging in criminal activity.
Okay.
So, to me, that's saying we make evil through these things. And if the genetic aspect is, now, I know this is not going to be a popular answer, but if you don't know what you're doing is wrong, how are you supposed to comprehend
evil? But here's the thing.
Evil?
Oftentimes, those people, they've been told right from wrong. They've been told, don't hurt the dog. Don't treat people that way.
Right.
They don't care.
Right.
They're going to do whatever they want to because it scratches an itch.
Right.
That's evil.
But that's because they're made. You're saying that because they chose,
mm-hmm.
they're evil. But if their options are out there, like don't kill the dog, kill the dog. Your mental genetic capacity is to say, I don't see the consequences in either one of these.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to go off of impulse. Whatever your neural activity is that day, we're going to break the leg on the cat today. Go for it. Like, I don't necessarily think that's like, I'm an evil person. To us, that is an evil activity for sure. Like, no doubt. But it's hard for me to grasp that God would make something. That's the only thing that I see where that could be an issue. Because if you're born evil, God made you evil. That doesn't make
sense. Then how do you reconcile Genesis 8:21?
I don't know what that is.
I know that was a setup. I'm going to read it to you. All right. Back end of the whole Noah and the Ark controversy.
Okay.
Right? Noah's back on dry ground.
Back on dry ground.
He's back. He builds an altar. Took some of the clean animals, makes a sacrifice.
Okay.
Right. Not because he wanted to see him suffer. He didn't fillet him for unhealthy reasons. And then in verse 21 it says. Well,
who was Noah's parents? I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Did he have anything traumatic happen? He lived through a flood.
Did he take the ace at some
Noah
point?
Noah had some aces. He had some aces.
All right, go ahead.
All right, it says, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. For the intention of man's heart is evil. Because this is like one of my sticking points that we've been talking about as we've been talking about eschatology and hell and all this stuff is God, like, he recalibrates his expectation of humanity, which is weird because it's like, God doesn't recalibrate. He knows it from the beginning. So it's not like he was really recalibrating. I think it's a figure of speech. But it's like he adjusts his expectations for humanity there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were evil from their youth. From childhood, they're evil. Because I would pose the complete opposite of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, instead of saying God does not make evil people, all people are evil. Some are just more evil than others.
Don't agree.
What?
I don't agree. But
you're just trying to throw out Tulip completely. Like,
I think there's
total
just,
depravation. No.
Yeah. I actually wrote that down in my note. Total depravity is not true. Because in the sense of evil. Now, I think this was a podcast we went on that you're talking about. We went evil and sinful. There seemed to be a difference between what we felt like was evil.
Because something could be
and what we felt
opposed
like
to God,
sinful.
But that doesn't mean it's evil.
Right. I'm talking like these people are evil, terrible people. Now, there's a difference between being evil and terrible and being like sinful to me.
Yeah.
And I think we talked about that on the podcast. So back to your verse. I mean, I don't disagree, but up until that point, I still think you got to look at what was going on, who raised them, what was happening, what was the behaviors they were looking at. Everybody was doing everything they wanted to. Why would you not engage in that? Like, even back to Adam and Eve, like, we talked about original sin.
How about Esau?
What do you mean? What about him?
He kills his brother.
Yeah. He's jealous, so he kills him. I'm not saying
What you're saying is that it does not matter, and I don't know that I'm completely against what I'm about to say. I'm putting words in your mouth, but I think you'd agree that no matter how you're wired, it is impossible for you to engage in evil without an environmental stimuli of some form.
100%. social.
Now,
or
some people, it may take a lot of environmental stimuli.
Right.
For other people, it may just take a little bit.
Right.
But it is 100% impossible that in a vacuum, outside of your environment, that you would choose evil.
Yeah, just for no reason.
Without something prompting it.
Right. Without something. Like, you still have choice. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that there's so many more influences that to say this guy is pure evil, I don't think is true. Because if you put it all goes back to the same question I've always been saying. If you put me in the same position, do I make a different choice? I don't know. I've never been in and had these environmental things and these genetic things and these social things. Like, for Esau, did Dad show a little bit more love to this guy? And then, like, what's the influences? Like, I always hit, like, in
if
my mind.
If I had to guess, though, I would say Adam was probably an absent father because he was clearly an absent husband.
Coming at Adam right now. So, two things.
Oh, boy.
Two things.
Uh-huh.
We'll tie this in theologically.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say the original sin thing. Our hearts are evil and sinful, so we do evil and sinful things. I don't think original sin in that way is necessarily true. Like, if a baby's born, for me to say they're evil doesn't make sense. What we were taught through Adam and Eve is how to live life. And guess what they chose to do? They chose to eat of the tree. So then that trickles down to the rest of humanity. So then you have all these different elements.
Mm-hmm.
You have, well, then, you know, he killed his brother. So then you have this family who's dealing with a murdered brother and a murdered uncle and a murder. And so then they got to deal with all this and that family dysfunction. And so that's kind of the point. It's like there's always something. And you could go back to the garden. You take the serpent out. Do they eat the tree or eat the fruit? Take the serpent out. The serpent came up and said, environmental influence.
Mm-hmm.
What did God say?
Because what you're saying, even though the capacity to be tempted was there, without it being prompted by an environmental stimuli, it would have been untriggered.
Right. Because nobody
wants to destroy.
Or at
least maybe kick down the road a little bit.
Right. Nobody wants to openly destroy their life. That's just my personal opinion. Like, we're too selfish at the core. Like, selfish and sinful to me are the same. We're too selfish at the core to say, I want to be unhappy. Most people.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make a decision purely based off of this has no benefit to me at all, this is no influences at all, it's just, it makes no sense. It doesn't add up. Like, there's always something.
There has to be a reason they want, there has to be a kickback for them to engage in violent or evil behavior.
Right.
Against, when it's clearly going to backfire on them.
Right. When it's clearly has, when they have no benefit, that makes no sense. Why would you choose that? Like, we can say that from outside looking in, for sure. But, like, if you stand in their world, they could say, well, they've had all this happen. They've had this. They think this way. This is their life. Like, a full psychological and just assessment and all that, biopsychosocial assessment to a God biopsychosocial assessment. You know everything. I would almost guarantee you could pick something out for everybody that led them to a decision that we would call evil.
Okay. So, did you... I Googled a few minutes ago, do evil people exist?
Mm.
You know what the number one result said?
What?
This is one of the number one most debated philosophical questions in the history of the world.
This topic?
Yeah. Are people innately good or innately bad?
Gotcha.
Basically.
Yeah.
And the conclusion was no one has ever been able to decide. Conclusively, right?
Conclusively.
Like, individually, right? Like, somebody might say, I believe this. But, like, by and large, there's never been consensus on this topic. If people are innately good or innately bad. Because it's so broke down that it's like, what is evil?
Right.
Right? Well, then you point out, okay, so just because the result was evil, was the intention evil?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so if the intention was evil, what prompted that intention? Right? Was it purely their thought? Was it genetics? Was it environment? Was it a combination of those factors?
Right.
If that trigger hadn't have been there, so it's like it looked like there's an environmental cue, but was there? Or was that just the current cue, but it was innately in them, it was going to happen regardless? You know? And if it's like, I mean, you keep breaking it down, then it's like, well, if they were wired to choose this behavior, is it evil because their mind was against them and they didn't have the capacity to go against it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's the problem. Like, it takes me down this rabbit hole that I frequently find myself in that goes somewhere between God is absolutely sovereign and in charge, and there's a lot of questions I've got about that. Or, in some way, we do have the capacity to make choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's influenced by our genetics, and it's influenced by our environment, but we are not absolved of responsibility. Somehow, despite both of those factors being true, there's a level of responsibility. Because if the environment is at fault or your genetics are purely at fault, then our sentience, our very essence of being alive, is a sham. Because we're just living out what either the environment tells us to do or triggers us to do or what our genetics primes us to be.
I think you brought up a really good point. I think one of, this is personal opinion kind of, but one of the divine type of qualities that we have as humans is choice.
Yeah.
Like, we can be influenced. And I mean, you know this. We were in addictions for a while. But your influences could be extremely influential, obviously, but heavy on you to choose drugs. Or it cannot be.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's your choice. Like, you still have
the choice.
You still
walk through that door.
Right. Your influences could be way different than somebody else's. Yeah. But at the end of the day, both of you have a choice. And so, with that being said, you could flip the question. And this is something that John Wesley did, who started the Methodist Church. And this was something he believed.
Do we even claim him? Is that Christian?
Yeah.
Is that a form of Muslimism?
I don't think so.
Methodist?
He believed, Scripture taught, that you could also choose and reach perfection.
Perfection?
In the same way.
Like, what is Maslow's hierarchy? What's the top? Self-actualization?
Yeah. That you could choose to live in perfection.
Had he ever met anyone that did that? Is he just saying that you can basically, in the same way that there was perfection in the garden, and then there was fallenness, by reconciling that relationship here on earth, you could over time become sanctified to the point that you were fully restored this side of heaven.
And you could choose perfection. Yeah, I use the same argument against, like, the same argument for evil, I use against that as well. Like, I don't think that's possible.
I mean, it might be possible for like 20 minutes.
But in the same way, people think that evil people can be evil, then there's got to be some extent that you think you can be perfect. Like, if you think you can choose evil, then you can choose perfection. Like, but I don't believe either one of those are true. I don't think you can. There's too many. Same thing. There's too many elements, too many environmental things, like the Johari window.
Oh, yeah, Johari window. Yes.
There's a section of you that nobody knows that you don't know.
Yeah.
That could be a fault. And so if that's always at play, then to me it'd be hard to ever reach that state. But that's also the flip side of it.
So, what's your... We got about 5 minutes here to wrap up this shenanigans. You have any final questions before I ask you a question? Do you have any final thoughts?
Not that I know of.
All right, so what's your takeaway here? What are you trying to prove?
This is not what I'm trying to prove. The argument was in the midst of our recent episode about Christian Universalism.
Yeah.
And my point was, in believing this aspect of where I'm coming from, I feel it is unjust.
You unjust.
Unjust.
Yeah.
To send someone to hell for eternity, if this is true.
This so being, they were incapable of
that. You know, they're born evil. They're, you know, like the theology that most people hold in the sense of total depravity.
Right. Oh, like on. I'm with you there. Like.
Not
God made you predestined to burn in hell forever.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you there.
Yeah, evil,
so either
sinful,
choice
yeah.
has to be present,
right.
or God redeems all.
Right.
But God is sovereign and he sends you in hell for eternity. That rubs against more scripture than it embraces.
Right.
I'll go with you there. I'll co-sign that. I have a huge, huge problem with that.
Right.
I'm with you.
So that was what kind of what spurred it. But then it led into this discussion. Like,
yeah.
are people primarily, because that was something that he was saying, was what about all these evil people, rapists, murderers, things like that? And my mind went straight to, there are no evil people, they're made, which is why I think, and this is a whole other thing, we're not going to talk about it, but which is why I think what Jesus was trying to establish in the Gospels was literally going to change society forever. Because if you look at the social, environmental factors that lead into increased criminal activity, Jesus calls the church to help that aspect. Like, a society is no better than its worst.
Mm-hmm. You're only as strong as your greatest weakness kind of thing.
And if you take care of poverty, if you take care of the sick, if you take care of the imprisoned, if you take care of the addiction, like if you take care of these aspects of your society, you will live in a kingdom of God.
The whole society becomes more Christ-like.
Right. Heaven on earth. Okay. And that was kind of my point in talking to him. But
you persuade your friend?
No. No, not at all. Full against Christian universalism. But I haven't had, to this day, still haven't had anybody convince me otherwise.
Here's my takeaway on this evil good thing.
Let's hear it.
Is I think, okay, so something you made me think of that I think is true is there's a difference in being evil and being sinful. I know people that, okay, myself. I sin. I don't consider myself an evil person.
Mm-hmm.
I have moments.
Mm-hmm.
I got moments where I choose violence,
mm.
but by and large, I don't think I'm an evil person.
Mm.
You'd have to ask my wife that. But I do think there are people that upon birth, the odds are against them.
Mm-hmm.
They are more evil than they are good. Just the way that they see the world. Well, I'll blame it on genetics, and so whatever you want to consider that, but they just always filter the world. And I think even if they were raised in an isolated bubble, they would be a pessimistic, glass half full, the world's out to get me, how can I take advantage of you mindset. I think their environment enhances that,
mm-hmm.
or it reshapes that,
mm-hmm.
to be a better version of itself or a worse version of itself. But I think on some level it's there. In the same way that I think there are people, and this is maybe a better example of it, of why I think this, because if the opposite is true, then it's easy. The vast majority of evil people were raised in some type of an evil situation that catered to that.
Hmm.
But if you look at the opposite of that, there are people that, despite their circumstances, are good.
Mm-hmm.
Think of Matilda, right? It's a fictional movie. But it's a real example of people, right? Like, last week I had the privilege of being on a new podcast that's coming out soon. It's not out yet. A buddy of mine, Chris, is launching. It's going to be called Resultsology. Okay? I did not mean to plug this. It's truly connected. He is an example of a Matilda. He was raised in an absolutely heartbreaking situation surrounded by drug, brokenness, poverty, criminal behavior, right? He would tell that story. And growing up, he always recognized, this is not good. I do not want to be a part of it. Now, sometimes did it bite him? Sure. He's got Kelly Clarkson lyrics tattooed down his arm, right? He had his moments.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout his whole life, he was like, this is not going to be me. I will rise above. He now, the whole thing of Resultsology, he's a businessman, makes over six figures, and is trying to connect with other people to say, how did you find success in life? How can we draw success from your life,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's called Resultsology. It's going to be the name of it. So anyway, the odds, the environmental odds were 100% against him.
Mm-hmm.
And yet for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
his genetic code made it such a way that he was innately able to recognize immoral, unethical, illegal behavior, and that he wanted to be better than that.
Mm-hmm.
So despite the environment, he was good.
Mm-hmm.
He chose good,
mm-hmm.
right? That doesn't mean he's sinless, but he chose good by and large. In the same way that I think there are people that are the opposite of that, that despite their environment, they're evil. Now, I will agree with, you'll never see a situation, and because you can't separate your genetics from your environment. They have to coincide, right? It's impossible to live in a vacuum. And so I'll agree that never, ever, ever, it is impossible to find a situation in which, no matter how good or bad a person was, that there was not some type of an environmental cue, right? So whether that cue said, I do not want to be like you, or it prompted you to become evil. I mean, I'll agree that there is always an environmental influence, mm-hmm. whether to expose the evil within you or to create the evil within you.
Mm-hmm. Agree, disagree. But I see where you're coming from.
Well, you should.
I see
you're getting
coming
pretty
from.
Used to people disagreeing with you right now. So
it is true. no, but I see where you're coming from. Like, I just don't think to say someone at their core is evil is to also say at the same time God has evil in him because we're made in that image.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think God genetically wires evil. It's kind of where I'm stuck on getting by.
Yeah, but there's a lot of bad things that I don't think God wanted to be wired in the womb.
But he's wiring them, right? I mean, it's just not random. He makes them in their womb. It's a verse.
It's a poetic verse written by David.
Oh, so
in the Psalms.
Now we can look
we're,
at scripture
we're done
this
here.
Way.
We're not.
Okay.
I'm not going here. All right. We're done.
Send us thoughts.
Yeah.
I think this might be one of two. This might be one of two podcasts out of 150 that me and Marty agreed to disagree on. So, Lars23 on SweetWee at yahoo.com.
That's right.
Or text either one of us.
Or hit us up on the Facebook
feedback page,
Tattoos and Jesus.
Yeah.
Facebook page. Josh doesn't know it, but I post the episode there every week. Anyway.
I do know it. Sarah shows me.
All right, guys. We appreciate you. We love you. Until next time, y'all behave yourselves.
Holla. Thanks for joining us on another episode of TNJ. Don't forget to check out the links to any of our guests in the show description.
And check out tattoosandjesus.org for additional show information or to submit your questions, comments, or curse words.